Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could join us today. You know, even if you do extensive research and you come to believe in on an intellectual level, and that's inevitably where, of course, it leads, on an intellectual level, that, of course, you're going to be never going to die. Your life is eternal. Once you really get that, you still don't have it at the level of your gut. I mean, it's hard to get to the point where you actually wake up every morning with a twinge of disappointment to realize you are still in your same old bedroom on earth. Took a lifetime for me. But you know what happens after you say, oh, darn it, I woke up here. The next thing you think is, well, I'm one day closer. I know how all of this feels because I was certain about the evidence. Oh, my goodness, at least 25 years ago. But it was really only recently that my certainty about the evidence had me sufficiently confirmed in so many different ways in the inevitability that we all never die. It was only then that I began to really live and revel in the joyousness of being eternal, truly eternal. It makes your whole life here so much richer too. So if you're still somewhere on that trail, but you haven't arrived yet to the point where you go, darn it, when you wake up in your earth bedroom, please just keep studying. It does happen. Suddenly it's all real. And our guest this week is someone who has been on that journey much more intensely than most of us. Our wonderful friend, and actually a friend of many of the people who are in the Seek Reality family, is Sandra Champlain. Sandra was once so afraid of death that she did the one thing most people afraid of death would never dare to do, which is she decided she'd find out for herself whether we die or we don't die. And she didn't trust reading the evidence, which is a lot of what I did. No, she had to do it all herself, which I think is just amazing. She investigated death by trying to learn to be, to do whatever the phenomena are, rather than just reading about them. And I think I cheated, actually. I always knew that there was something behind the curtain from the age of 8 when I had my experience of light. But Sandra didn't have that. She just went out there and she said, darn it, I'm going to prove or disprove this. So I give her credit just for that kind of courage. The amazing thing is, though, that she learned on a highly personalized level by doing so much of this herself that indeed life really is eternal. And now she's an evangelist for the truth that, frankly, we not only do we not die, but reality is much more wonderful than any scientist has ever told us. Now Sandra is a recognized afterlife expert on the international level. She's the host of a worldwide radio show and podcast called We Don't Die Radio, and she's the author of We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. Sandra is just a delightful person. She's as bubbly and happy in person as she is whenever you hear her talking, which is it's hard to do that, actually, every day. It makes you want to go home and kick your cat, I think. But she makes all of this look so easy, and I'm so glad to have her back again with us. Welcome, Sandra. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Hello, Roberta. I'm feeling bubbly. Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Maybe you don't know how you come across, but every time I've ever seen you in person or heard your podcast, it's like you're just full of joy, which is a very refreshing thing. A lot of people think of this as heavy stuff, but it's not. It's joyous stuff. And what I'd like to do is just briefly, in case there are people who don't
tell you something.
What?
Oh, just I'm coming across bubbly, and this is not predictable because today is actually the 8-year anniversary of my dad taking his last breath, which was the most painful day for me. That actually, I believe, was the catalyst to get me started on this whole life after death adventure and discovery. But for me to be here 8 years later, not sitting here in doom about what happened and reliving all the painful emotions, but on the flip side, having gratitude for the growth I've had, believing that Dad is by my side, that we've helped save so many lives. We've uncovered this miraculous conversation and that were giving life to so many people. It just wasn't predictable that I would be happy and bubbly today. And no. I am. So
but
to me, that's
beautiful.
The miracle.
What a wonderful
of this work.
Story.
Thanks.
Have you heard from him? Have you communicated with him?
Yes, through others. But one of the most favorite things that happens is when my mind is quiet, all of a sudden he'll appear in my mind. And it just doesn't matter when it is, but it's just like, I know Dad is close. You know, certainly I get signs like seeing airplanes, which was his favorite thing, or seeing his name. But I really have been learning, and we'll get into a little bit about some of the personal growth I'm doing, but quieting my mind. It's like I can hear his voice and I can see his face. And it's just so comforting to get that he's here. He's here. So
isn't
that's
it
nice.
Wonderful? I think that's where all of this is leading more and more. I run Afterlife Forums, which is just a place where people come to talk about all this stuff. And I don't get to go there as much as I'd like to anymore because I've been so busy with these other things. But more and more people are coming there and talking about their own experiences with people you used to think were dead who really aren't dead at all. This personal level interaction, this personal certainty, I think is new. And I think it's because we actually are raising our own consciousness. It's a process which is hard for us. We're experiencing it really to see except in retrospect. But that's happening, Sandra. It's happening and it's real and you're helping to make it happen. So bless you for that.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do is just briefly have you talk about sort of how you got started. Just tell a couple of those stories fairly quickly because people who don't yet know who you are need to know who you are. And I should just say parenthetically, I hear from so many people who say the only podcasts they follow are Sandra Champlain's and Secret Reality. So you and I seem to be kind of paired in a lot of people's minds.
I feel the same way. I get the same response. My story is rather simple. I didn't believe in any of this afterlife business, never grew up spiritual, although I went to Catholic school. It wasn't until 1996 that I was just overcome with this huge fear of dying. It just seemed to come out of the blue when I was looking up at the stars and couldn't figure out really who I was, what my life was for. Is there something after death? And my mom seems to think that when I worked at the nursing homes as a young gal volunteering, that I saw a lot of death and maybe this prompted it. But it had me go on a long journey, just looking through science, through religion, through, you know, some mystical things as well to look for any evidence of the afterlife. And it was a 15-year journey before I could finally say in my heart of hearts, we don't die. I've got plenty of evidence to substantiate it. And I never was going to share it because I used to think people who talk this lingo were a little crazy.
Yes.
And it wasn't until my own dad passed away 8 years ago. And I learned a lot about grief, things that I knew would help others because as they helped me. And I ended up writing my book, We Don't Die. And that's been out 5 years now. And I am so, like, for the first time, I have the backbone to share that the afterlife is a reality. You know, I give my own details what I think this life is about, but it's pretty miraculous. And I'm really here to share with people that their loved ones have gone on. They're not far away. They're just the blink of an eye away in this invisible space. We will see them again. And then that our lives really are for a purpose. So I love what I do. I have so much what I call evidence that I can go to sleep at night knowing that the fear is gone. And I have witnessed what I call the miraculous over and over and over again. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be on this journey.
Yeah, what you went through about whether you can really come out to people about what your hobby is, I went through that too. I'm an attorney. my clients were all business owners,
right?
Serious men in suits. And when The Fun of Dying was about to come out 8 years ago, I had to come out to all of them. And their reactions were curious. Some of them now really love what I can teach them. And that's part of what we talk about sometimes when we meet. But there were others who said, well, that's interesting. Okay, now about this phrase in this contract, they just didn't want to talk about it. To this day, right. They don't even want to think that. And I just say, okay, you're fine. Just don't ever go to my website because it no longer talks about legal services. And I don't know whether they have or not. But it is something which, once you get a conviction about it, don't you think you then feel you have to share it? You can't keep it in. It's almost irresponsible and wrong not to share what we've learned.
Absolutely. And I don't push it on people. I have got this fine art of like dangling the hook. And, you know, I'll be sitting next to somebody on an airplane. And it's always like, oh, you're traveling, business or pleasure. You know, what do you do? And I have a day job. My mom and I run a catering business for race car teams. But I say, and I'm an author. And then they can say if they want to, you know, what you write? And then I pull out the book. And most people are really interested. And there's been a few that are like, oh, that's great. And then they put their headphones on and turn away. But 90% of the times, I would say, Roberta, the person sitting next to me has had some great loss in their life. And you just never know who it is. And you just can't sum somebody up by what they're wearing. It's, you know, so I just dangle a little carrot. And if they're interested, fine. If they're not, fine. But more times than not, people are interested. And I just think people are scared about talking about this. So it's not real open. But I think most people do believe or want to believe or are interested.
Yes, many more now even than 5 or 6 years ago. When I first was started to tour for The Fun of Dying, and this would have been late in 2010, early in 2011, I would see seas of blank faces. People would really not understand anything about this stuff. Now, you and I know both. I mean, if you go and you're even talking about this in a bookstore, everybody gets it. That transformation has happened over the past decade. And to me, it's astonishing. It's very, very enlightening and hopeful, don't you think?
Absolutely. And even looking at the television shows and how many people watch things like the Long Island Medium and, you know, all the different people that are out doing mediumship things and afterlife communications of the different sorts, you know, that people are interested, EVP, all that.
Now, one of the things that fascinates me about Sandra is that she doesn't just want to read about the afterlife. She has made herself an experimental subject. Last week we talked with Craig Hogan. He basically did the same thing. He discovered he actually has a lot of things he can do, like remote viewing and so on. And he does it remarkably well, which he had no idea about. But Sandra, the skeptic, decided she would take courses and try to learn how to do some things. And I remember some of your stories, Sandra, but can you just tell us one or two? You know, I'm going to go out and learn something, and then you went and did it?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I went to learn to see if it was even possible. I saw one of the very first thing I did in the world of the mystical is I went to see a medium do a stage show. And, you know, my skeptical mind knew that that was a scam, a fraud. She was going to try to sell something. And just the opposite happened. It seemed very genuine and honest, authentic. And she was bringing through people's loved ones. And I was watching the people in the audience and they just fall apart to tears. They were so happy. And so very secretly, I took a course with this woman out in California, just a 3-day workshop on mediumship. Is, you know, just because she had this promise, if you go to the course, she'll teach you how to be a medium. And I'm thinking, how could somebody do that?
3 days.
And so 3 days. And then she says, well, if you were called to be here, you're a medium. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. But the thing that happened that just opened the door to there's more to Sandra than meets the eye is she explained how medium readings are done. And she says, I want you to each pick a person that's in the group and sit knee to knee with them. And she says, we're not really going to do a medium reading now. I'm just going to show you and we're going to just play like we were mediums. So she took the fear off that we had to be mediums and had to try to do something. And she says, I just want you to have a lot of love in your heart towards this person. And I really want you just to invent that there's a person standing behind your partner and tell a story. And, you know, psychically or just you know, quietly tell the person, you know, introduce yourself because we're still people, even though we don't have our physical body and, you know, you have manners. And so I was willing to play along with this. And so with my eyes closed, I took the coaching because, again, I wasn't really doing a medium reading. She just told me I could be creative. And I made up that behind my partner was a man that was her grandfather on her mom's side. I'm just making it up. I see in my mind a fishing boat, and I said, I think it's your grandfather, and he was a fisherman. The word Denmark comes into my mind. Oh, he's a fisherman in Denmark. His name was Jan. He had blonde hair, blue eyes, big gap between his front teeth, died of lung cancer, because I see him puffing away, and I just felt like lung cancer. And then just, you know, my eyes are closed telling her this. I said, and he never told your mom that he loved her while he was on Earth, and he had that regret, and he wants you to tell her that he loves her. So I opened my eyes just to say, okay, it's your turn. And there's just streams of tears going down this woman's cheeks. Her grandfather's name was Jan. He was a fisherman in Denmark. He died of lung cancer. She had heard stories from her mother that her dad was real tough and never said the words, I love you. And it couldn't have been more accurate. And it came out of me.
Shivers?
It gives me shivers right now. Because it is great. Even... I know we're going to get talking about some of my recent travels, but I have not become a medium because I just don't feel like that's my calling. But every so often I take a course somewhere and I get an opportunity to try it again. And on this last visit, which was just over Easter time, actually, I was sitting in front of a woman and pulled up that feeling of love for her. And I just said, okay, if anybody wants to put any words or images in my mind, here I am. And I was immediately filled with my own love for my grandmother. And my grandmother came through. And the coaching was, if it's your own person that comes through, very often this person could have had the same relationship with their person. So I said, well, I'm guessing it's your grandmother. And you had a really great relationship with her, more like friends than grandmother and granddaughter, like best friends. And I described a black and white dog and a little white poodle. And the woman was just writing things down. She didn't say yes or no, which is a good thing, because when you get a no, sometimes the fear kicks in and this whole thing shuts down. But then I saw in my mind, I saw a sewing machine. She said, anything special about the sewing machine? And I saw like an old antique sewing machine with the gold letters Singer on it, because there are Singer sewing machines. And then the last thing I saw was just a little vase of flowers. She says, oh, what kind of flowers? I said, well, there's roses and lilies in there. She says, well, I have to tell you, I had this great relationship with my grandmother. It was more like best friends than grandmother and granddaughter. My grandmother had two little dogs. One was black and white, and one was like a little white poodle. She says, my grandmother, her last name was Singer. And every time she told people her last name, she would say, I'm Singer, like the sewing machine.
The sewing machine.
And then she says, you saw roses and lilies. She says, my two grandmothers' first names are Rose and Lily.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that gives me shivers.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Oh, but evidential mediumship was the first thing I kind of snuck into to just crack the door open. That gave me permission to say, okay, if that's possible, what else is there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people find. You know, it's hard to get started. And I wanted to tell everyone listening who says, gee, I want to do what Sandra did. It's hard to do it the first time because you really think, well, she's a natural and I'm not. She would be the first person to say wasn't a natural.
No.
All she did was try with her whole heart and soul to learn what she could learn from these experiences. And she put herself into it. But you were still skeptical, right, in the beginning?
Oh, absolutely. And what angered me a little bit is because I couldn't do this on demand because it looked just like my imagination. And so many times that first weekend, even to this day, it is my imagination. And so I haven't really drawn the fine line to what's real, what isn't. And I got some really great coaching this last time around from the instructor, who's a pretty well-known medium in the world. She says, all you need to do is love your partner, the sitter, the person across from you, and let the spirit world do the rest. They very often don't have practice communicating. So they are trying to put pictures in your mind, words in your head, music, tastes on your taste buds, smells, thoughts, feelings, all that. And the medium is just to be like the telephone and just to transfer any information that comes through. So for us not to make ourselves wrong, And not to say we can't do it, but just for all of us, you know, you have to be willing to use your imagination and be okay with being wrong to be right. So be willing to play with it.
And this lack of is very important, because if you are thinking do or die, while you're doing this, you won't be able to do it. No. But the fact that you, that this won't be mediums who have helped you have been wise enough to just say, we're just playing. Just, you know, let yourself, then you can be loosey-goosey and you're not gonna get uptight about it. And it works. I'll have to say just briefly, I had a similar experience, and I've been trying to think who it was. A famous medium gave a workshop one weekend. This was years ago, and I was curious. So I didn't even think, I was just went to watch. But he paired us all up, and he did the same thing. I had that same experience, Sandra. And I think I'm as psychic as a post, but I did a very good reading for the woman that I was trying to do the reading for. And it was a man standing behind her. I don't think I got his name, but I got a lot about him. And she was quite shaken by it. Boy, if she was shaken, you could imagine I was too.
Yeah, I think people believe that we're in the afterlife, we're these powerful souls that, you know, if we think of a rainbow can appear, you know, all these things. And while that I believe is true, I know it. We are souls having a human experience. So we do have things like time and space and distance. So our thoughts might not appear into reality like in seconds. But I do think that we have every bit of soul power here on earth as people do in the afterlife. So why not? We all have this capability, just like everybody can play piano. Now, how many people are going to really practice? And some people have it naturally. But I do think part of our gift of being human is we are souls and we can do this stuff. So we are all mediums. We really are.
What? I think so, too. And one of the great things about your book is that you take us on that journey. I just found it fun to sort of live it with you, because even though I knew what you were going to find, still, it's like a little mystery story. Will it all come out where it should? Quite an enjoyable book. I think that's why it's been so successful.
Thanks. And now, Roberta, 5 years later, and now having the podcast, as of this morning, I recorded my 255th episode. So now I am so far past the information I had 5 years ago when the book came out. I mean, I've got the juiciest stuff, and I love sharing it. I love it. I love
it. Isn't it?
Like you do.
That's what keeps me doing this every week, too. But we are about to come up on the end of our fifth year in June. And so I've done almost as many as, well, probably about as many as you have, but you're scooting right past me, because we only do one a week. So I give you credit for that, dear. You have boundless energy. One of the things that I wanted to talk with Sandra about is her recent trip to the United Kingdom, because that is sort of the fount of all really good information now still being produced. A lot of the things that were possible here are really not as possible now, although people like Craig Hogan are trying to resurrect them. But Sandra went to where people are actively doing physical mediumship, and as is typical of her, she's basically going to figure out how to do it for herself. So let's talk about your trip. Tell me about that. We had Rob on a couple of weeks or 3 weeks ago, and he did talk about it. And I urge people to go back and look at Rob Blackburn. Go back and listen to that one, because he talked a lot about this same trip. But Sandra, tell us how it went and what made you do this.
Oh, it's great. I actually think you were part of when you were talking. You had an episode with David Thompson, the physical medium.
Yes.
And yes, way back. And also Tom and Lisa Butler from the A-Trans-C, do a lot of the EVP work. They were talking about this thing that they would do. They called it a seance, and the room is dark, and people right. from the afterlife actually could come in via this stuff called ectoplasm. And I'm thinking, oh, that's so total Ghostbusters, right?
Right, right.
And they'd make themselves real again, but it's in the dark. So, of course, my skeptic mind says, oh, I don't know. And you can't trust anything in the dark. And but that people would come through, and their voices would come through, and they very often could touch their loved one and speak in their own voice and become real again. And I just thought, man, that sounds interesting, but like that's really far out, way out there. But I, based on you, I started doing a little research on David Thompson and saw some of his videos of going into trance, and this William being would speak through him, which is totally a different personality. And then I had gone on to David Thompson's website, and you know, everybody's got these recommended links, and he had one that said physical medium Scott Milligan. And I thought, oh, there's another one of these people, you know, where do I find this guy? And so I go on Facebook. Yeah, I go on Facebook, and you know, Scott Milligan's there, and I press friend request. Now he doesn't know me, so I didn't think I'd get a request back. I mean, an answer back. But all of a sudden, it came up, friendship accepted. So I said, oh, you know, because this is kind of spooky stuff. You know, what is this physical mediumship? And then on Scott's page was this 5-day retreat called Voices of the Past, and you can experience 2 seances and all these workshops. And I'm thinking, I got to go. And so I looked at the registration button, and it was 99% full. And I thought, I got to make a decision. And I pressed, you know, I want that last place. And so that was actually the end of 2016. I've gone now many times. I'm a junkie for this because it is the most miraculous thing I've ever witnessed. And I went into it the first time. I sit in a circle in the dark, hold hands, sing songs like spooky. Well, we're singing songs like at that time, it was just before Christmas. So we were singing Christmas carols, jingle bells, singing like I Will Survive and songs from ABBA and laughter up the wazoo, just laughing. Come to find out, laughter is the best energy. Yes. And this ectoplasm is this substance that can come out of the pores or the mouth or the ears of the medium, and people in their etheric bodies can step into it and become real again. And this is something I just recently learned, because even though, Roberta, I've been doing this, you know, these trips to the UK, I haven't been really vocal about it. Now, I have been on my radio show because these people already know and love me, but out in the real world, not so much. But I found that, well, speaking of Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd, who wrote and starred in the movie Ghostbusters. Now, he talks about ectoplasm and this green, slimy stuff and seances, and I've always been afraid to use those terms. Well, didn't I find out that Dan Aykroyd's father wrote a book called The History of Ghosts, and he found in his father's old chest, they had seances back in the day, and Dan Aykroyd's own grandfather and great-grandfather witnessed all of this phenomena. So Dan Aykroyd grew up in a house hearing about seances, hearing about the afterlife, the reality of the afterlife, hearing about the term ectoplasm. And he grew up to be a comedian and all that. And so he used these terminologies in his blockbuster hit comedy, Ghostbusters.
But fascinating.
So I now have the backbone that I can use these terms and use them wisely, because it's like, hey, Dan Aykroyd believes. And there's videos of him talking about his past and his grandfather and things like that. And I just thought, you know what? I can share this. And as out of this world as this may seem, there's no other explanation in my mind than it could be real. It doesn't cost a lot of money to go to these things. Now, I do believe that there is fraud out in the world, and I think that physical mediumship was really big turn of the century and a little bit before and after that, and it disappeared. I do believe a lot of frauds came about and were preying on the grieving, doing magic acts. But I, in my heart of hearts, I've witnessed these glow-in-the-dark tablets that spirit children, I can see their fingers, I can see them moving around, they've touched me. I have heard the voices of loved ones come through with so many specifics for people, even singing like a favorite song, like a father would sing to a child when they were young, so much specifics. And certainly there's some other, you know, phenomena, things floating around, but there's laughter and love. And back in the time, I don't even remember when this gentleman existed, but there's a man named Alec Harris, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but he, at the time, I think, when did he die? In 1940s, maybe? Not sure. He was a skeptic. He didn't believe in any of this. And his wife had started going to a spiritualist church and attending these sort of things. And this man ended up going with her and became one of the greatest physical mediums that ever walked the planet. In fact, they would have a small light on in the room when now, you know, it's happening in the dark, but there'd be a small light on. And on one of the busiest evenings, 23 to 30 loved ones would come through. Mothers could hold their children again. Pets would come through. And it's just, it's fascinating.
I think
if that happened once, it could happen again.
Yes. Now, why does it have to be dark? People are asking. It's simple. The substance ectoplasm, which is made inside the medium's body and actually remains part of the medium's body, it's sort of, I think it's sugar-based, but it is exuded, as Sandra said, from the medium's body, and it's very, very sensitive to light. So if light is in the room, sometimes it won't be produced or it will be defective. And if it's all out in the room and they open a door and let the light in, it can kill the medium that snaps back into the body. So that's been a problem. But there are people, like we had Louise Herman on a few weeks ago, wonderful, wonderful Australian medium, and she's working to produce the ectoplasm in the light. I think Rob Blackburn, that we just talked about, who worked closely with Craig Hogan, also is going to eventually start to work in the light. Yes. This is, don't you think this is going to be how people have to start believing? Because when this all is happening in the light, it's just impossible to say it's not real. You and I both know it's real because we've done it enough. We've seen enough in seances to know there's no question, but the world is ready to find out, I think.
Yep. And I do think that the spirit world is working hard at this as well. I don't think to assume that they're not is, I think, a little bit crazy. I think they are. And I know there are people.
Say they are. They're trying very hard to create more efficient methods of communication and more efficient methods of mediumship, which will make it impossible for people on the earth to continue to deny this.
Oh,
so it's
beautiful.
A very exciting time to be alive, don't you think? And you're younger than I am, so you'll be there when
sure
it all comes real.
Is there's a great quote by Carl Jung that says, "I shall not commit the fashionable stupidity of regarding everything I cannot explain as fraud."
Yes, that's kind of a basic
yeah
precaution. We were talking just before we went on about the simple fact. You say your quote and then I'll say mine.
Okay. This is the Three Stages of Truth by Arthur Schopenhauer. All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident.
So obviously everybody always knew that. Yes.
Oh, they always knew.
And Mahatma Gandhi said, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, which is that's sort of where we are now, then they fight you, then you win. I mean, essentially, they're both saying the same thing. There'll come a year, we don't know which year it will be, when suddenly everybody will realize all of this is true. And it'll be as if it's always been known, but everyone listening, and Sandra and I know, it's been a long, hard fight even to get to this point of having there be enough credible people who know this stuff and, like Sandra, very brave, come out and say it. I mean, Sandra works at caters at racetracks, and she hangs up banners proclaiming this in front of these drivers. I'd like Sandra to talk a little bit about what she and her mother do, because this is like the sexiest thing I've ever seen people do. She goes to races, big, you know, professional races, and feeds the race car drivers. I mean, that's like really amazing.
It sounds so much better coming out of your mouth. It's not as sexy as it seems. It's up at 4 o'clock in the morning to, you know, put on the bacon and the coffee and things. And but my mom and I, for over the past 30 years, have been traveling with this group of race car teams in the IMSA series, International Motorsports Association. It's owned by NASCAR. And we travel with, oh gosh, it could be anywhere from 20 to 30 different teams, feeding anywhere from 400 to 1500 people per meal. And now we have a big staff, but we go all over the country and up into Canada. And in the middle of a race car track, we will have a big, say 150 foot tent set up, and we'll set up a big buffet line. And we feed the drivers and the teams and the sponsors, and keeps me out of trouble, keeps me very busy, keeps me physically active. And the best part is I get to work with my mom, who is just the best lady.
Yes.
I love her dearly. Hard work, but it is rewarding, because everything that I do somehow is making a difference in people's lives. And to think of feeding people is such a necessity. And yes, my race teams win races. And I think it's because they are taken care of. There's
of
a feeling of love under our tent. And like you said, I have the big banner up saying, you know, there's a book signing table. Is there proof of life after death? Sandra Champlain says yes. Sometimes just seeing that, you know, there could be a woman under the tent who's got breast cancer, could be a person that's just lost a loved one. And in 5 minutes, I could have a conversation with somebody that really gives them hope and some tools through grief and also some faith in the afterlife. So that's one common denominator we all share, is that our loved ones, yeah, we will experience grief. And so wherever I am, I'm blessed that I get to be that person to help.
So you're feeding them body and spirit both.
That's right. That's right.
I just love that.
Years ago, this is a cute story. Suzanne Wilson, who's one of our mutual friends, as a really great medium, she, I think, is the best I've ever spoken with.
Very, very accurate. Absolutely.
Yes. But I remember having a reading with her, and out of the blue, she says, "Did your mother know Paul Newman?" And I said, and she says, I very rarely get celebrity sightings, you know, doing a medium reading. But she says, "Paul Newman is here, and he's tipping his hat to your mother." And I said, "Well, it's really funny you should say that, because years ago, Paul Newman was a race car driver." Right. And my mother did his travel, and she would pick him up from the airport and bring him to the airplane and things like that. So she knew him very, very well, and she took care of him. But that was just one of those little things. That's just another sign that.
Yes. People ask me if they were a fan of Elvis or something, how would I ever get in touch with them? And I think we have to, you may get these questions too. We really have to say, if there's a love tie, people will come into your life. But if there's no, it's almost like they're not on the same wavelength that you are. If you never knew them, if it's just you're a fan or something. But that's a case where, yeah, there was a love tie. And through to her. I think that's fabulous.
And Roberta, even with our pets, because Suzanne brought in my grandmother, totally described my grandmother. And she says she wants you to know that she's with the two kitties. And that's what she always called my kitties, Millie and Oz, the two kitties. And then she says she's singing a song. "I'm just wild about Harry." She says, "Who's Harry?" I said, "He's my new cat."
Oh, isn't that fun?
Right?
Yes.
Oh, so our kitties and our
love, animals,
lovely
that we have
animals.
Loved, they're all there. They're all waiting there for us. It's
all
the
there.
Best news for many people that you can possibly imagine.
Yes.
Sorry, let's talk about where all of this is going. Obviously, this is an area that is very important to you. You're really doing a beautiful job of getting the word out. But where's all of this going, do you think? Where's the process of afterlife communication information going now?
Yeah, I think it is going to be something where it's going to be so self-evident, like, you know, the airplane was ridiculed many years ago, and now we don't think anything of, you know, airplane travel, you know, like it's always been. I think knowing that the afterlife is real, I think there's going to be so much more technology that we are able to be in communication with our loved ones. I think as human beings, there may even be courses in school that we quiet our brains and the monkey mind, as they call it, all this inner chatter, and we're able to tune in with our own soul and our own, you know, mediumistic abilities, and have that confidence that our loved ones are there. I think people growing up, they'll be able to tap into their spirit guides or angels, whoever you want to call them, for inspiration, for accomplishing tasks and things like that. But ultimately, I believe in my heart, because I think I am witness to this in my own life. Without the fear of death, there's a whole lot less fear of life. There's times where, yeah, I'm able to do something fearful I wouldn't have done before. You know, somebody had a great quote that your dreams fulfilled are on the other side of your comfort zone. Like, we really have to reach out of our comfort zone to get there. So to be able to take risks, be able to be okay with failure, you know, because it's once we fail enough times, that's where the success comes in. You know, what is Edison that failed 1,000 times to create the light bulb? And now we all have so much because of him. But in the future, I see, you know, this might sound like everybody says peace on earth, but when we can create peace within ourselves, when we can get to the point where we feel like we're responsible for our life, that we actually chose to come into this life to have growth for the soul. We might not understand it. But I see us not making everybody else wrong, but by saying, okay, what can I learn from this? Okay, next. But living life fully.
It's true, Sandra, when you say that you're much less fearful. I've come to believe that fear of death is the base fear. Every fear we have is the fear of death in some form. So when you no longer fear death, my experience has been you don't fear anything. I mean, nothing can touch you. And to me, that's all by itself. Don't you think reason to understand and do this work so you get to that point?
Absolutely. And people are also afraid of being alone. And you know what? You just can't see all the love around you, but there's not one of us that's alone right now, whether you call them your guides or who. And besides physical mediumship, I'm also passionate about studying this trance mediumship, these people that channel, all that stuff. So I'm going on to my second course on trance mediumship at the Arthur Findlay College, which I call it Hogwarts because it's so much like
it
Harry
is just
Potter.
Like it, isn't it? Yes. Well, we'll have you back soon to talk about trance mediumship. That's a whole other area I forgot to ask you about. Sandra, what is your website and how can people get to your podcast?
The best place to go is wedontdieradio.com. And there's a link to me, to the book, to all these 255 episodes. I offer a free audio called How to Survive Grief. I've got a PDF file called Sandra's 19 Reasons to Believe in the Afterlife. And if you still don't believe after that, you got to read it again. It's all there. It's all there. But wedontdieradio.com is the best place to start to get to
me. That's wonderful. Dear, thank you so much for being here. We're going to have to do this again soon. I always feel we have much more we never got to say. But again, Sandra Champlain, and We Don't Die is her book, and We Don't Die Radio is her podcast. You'll never stop listening to Sandra once you start. So thank you for being here, dear.
Thank you.
Now, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm really glad you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really, really get that, it changes everything in your life for the better. Next week, we're going to be talking with Paula Lenz. She's a lovely woman I met when I spoke in Denver a few months back. She had lost her brother in an awful auto accident, and then she had begun this wonderful experience with her brother, a new relationship, a clearly an extraordinary story. Her book is called Driving into Infinity, Living with My Brother's Spirit, and that pretty much sums up what her story is. It's beautiful. You're going to love both Paula and her brother, so please join us next week. This week, we've been talking with the great afterlife phenomenon experiencer and popularizer, Sandra Champlain. She's really unique. I don't know anybody else who quite approaches life the way she does. And she's a huge favorite in our Seek Reality family. You can see why. She admits that she was once terrified of death, hard to believe now, but she has convinced herself by doing all the research herself. And her book is terrific, We Don't Die. Her podcast is fantastic, We Don't Die Radio. She's one of my favorite people, to be frank, and she's someone who lives in the joy of service. You can hear that. We're going to have her back again soon. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, which has become actually quite big. And for young children, there's The Fun of Meeting Jesus. You can order them through bookstores or on Amazon.com. The adult books are all available as audiobooks. So please just, if you ever want to talk to me about anything, just go to robertagrimes.com, go to the contact block, and then make sure I get your right email address, but ask your question, give me your comment. I answer all emails. Sometimes it takes a week now. I used to be able to say 24 hours. It doesn't happen that way now, but I will answer you and I'll be very glad to hear from you. As always, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality. Please never forget, always know with every breath you take, that you yourself are in particular a powerful eternal being. That is true of you. And you are more loved than you can possibly imagine. So just keeping that in your mind and heart every day is going to make your life so much brighter. Until then, this is Roberta Grimes.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.